Some of you have met my 90-pound Labrador Retriever, Max, who is 90 pounds of muscle and fun, and Max is still just wide open. One of the things about him is he has champion field lines in his background. So for Max, nothing matters more than the stick in your hand. I mean, it's not food. If he has to choose between food and a stick, he'll take the stick every time. And so we have this game that we play in the backyard. There's kind of this straight line in the backyard, and we have sticks at either side of the line. And it's kind of a sort of a version of, well, drawn from the movie Gladiator. I take sticks for Max, and I'll throw them, and he'll start running back and forth and back and forth. And as he's running, sometimes I'll start the chant, Maximus, Maximus, Maximus. And then eventually he'll stop, at which point I'll look at him and say, "Are you not entertained?" And he'll start running again, back and forth. And I think it's a great question to ask, really. Are you not entertained? But I want to switch it up a little this morning, and I want to ask it this way. Are you not encouraged? Are you not encouraged? Now, in asking that, I don't want to be insensitive to any of the difficulties that any of us may be going through. I'm well aware that this time of year is very difficult for many people. Made all the more difficult because it's supposed to be a time where you have family and loved ones around you, and sometimes those loved ones have been removed from you or there are tensions in the family. And the last thing I want to do is pile platitudes on top of that. But if you're going through a time like that, the message of Christmas matters most of all. Because as God's word reminds us, though we grieve, we do not grieve, quote, as those who have no hope. And the question is, again, are you not encouraged? Do you not have hope? Because that is the message that we need to treasure and the gift that we need to unwrap and hold close to our hearts. Because in reality, that's the gift that was meant for our hearts. And the verses we read, which are out of our weekly reading, and by the way, you're almost there. You are almost there. We've been reading through the New Testament, and we're getting close to the end. I'm still not sure what we're going to do for next year as we're reading. So Lord, we ask that you would lead us for our reading plan for this next year. Give us wisdom and direction. Show us what to do. In Jesus' name. But let's go ahead and go there. Just two verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 through 17. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us, and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. There it is. There is so much hope in those two short verses that you can't overlook it. But first, Have you ever had someone try to encourage you in a difficult season? Maybe you were in high school or middle school. Maybe it was a time of deep doubt. But someone came to you and actually was able to encourage you. Have you ever had someone like that in your life? Someone who gave, as C.S. Lewis wrote about J.R.R. Tolkien when he was writing The Lord of the Rings, which was this multi-year endeavor, and Tolkien had actually typed out the manuscript with an old typewriter twice, and more than that, as he's dealing with submissions and editing. And Tolkien said about Lewis, I'm sorry, that Lewis offered him sheer encouragement was the term. Have you had someone do that for you in your life? Can you think of someone like that? Again, maybe it was a teacher. You know, someone who saw something in you that you didn't know that you had. Maybe it was, you know, a guy who worked at the hardware store and for some reason or another just liked you and encouraged you. Think about it. Can you see that person's face right now? Can you see the light in their eyes as they're speaking this truth to you that changes you? Maybe one day, you know, you're down, you're crestfallen, wondering just how to get through the day, and then, you know, it's like opening the windows on this dark room and the light shines in. Have you ever had someone bring that kind of encouragement to you? Imagine what that was like for just a moment. And then imagine how you felt in that moment. And think of it going on forever. Forever. Now imagine that the one doing the encouraging is God. Because isn't that what we just read? That's not, you know, Pollyannish wishful thinking kind of thing. That's biblical thinking. And you have chapter and verse right in front of you that even in life's hard, sharp places, you and I can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by the one who came to shine light into darkness and set captives free. And this isn't about positive thinking and material goods. It goes so much deeper. It's about heart and soul. It goes deeper than our DNA. Just look at where these verses start. May Jesus Christ himself stop right there. Paul couldn't write that unless Jesus was risen, unless Jesus could be met, unless Jesus had met him in an unexpected place. Jesus came to be known by us, right? Isaiah 7, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. But why? Why would God, who speaks worlds, cosmos into existence through just a word, why would God have an interest in us? Well, because He really is that good. And He really is that powerful that someone as small as you or I deeply matter to Him. Think of Jesus' words, my sheep know me. And they hear my voice. And think about those times that you have heard His voice in your darkness. And He has brought you through difficult times. And it's not that it's just about that. It's not just about life getting better. It's the fact that it's He who makes it better in that moment. May Jesus Christ Himself, right? That's why Paul writes this. Just a word from God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. His word to us, His speaking in our souls, is life to us. Let's keep reading. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, not God in heaven, not God omnipotent, not God the Almighty, yes, all of these things, but God our Father who loved us first and loved us so much that He, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would come for us and live with us and teach us and die for us and be raised to life for us so that we might have life in Him. And that's the next part. Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father who loved us and by His grace, in other words, entirely by His own initiative, because He is like that. That's the very definition of goodness, to want to help someone out. In their pain and their anxiety and their separation from everything that is good. He's so good that He chose to meet us at our absolute worst and bring us back to Himself. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying that stuff that you can't bring to church. Right? You know. Those worst moments. To think that God not only knows about those moments, because He does, right? No hide and seek here. But that God would love us so much that He would meet us in those moments and love us in those moments, that blows me away. Because, I mean, that love is a little like parental love, you know? Sometimes, I mean, you have a toddler, that toddler doesn't know. I mean, the other day I was at the Christmas parade in Wilmington with my granddaughter, and it was cold. And it was too cold for her to sit in the stroller. By that point, her hands were so cold, they were red, and she wore a mitten on one hand, but she didn't want that mitten on that other hand. I don't know why, because she's a 2-year-old. And I kept trying to put it on her, and she kept trying to take it off. So then I took her little hand, and I put it inside my jacket, you know. But she's, you know, she's just miserable, and she's just kind of, you know, she's just kind of wailing. And Carrie and I are having, not really wailing, but you know what 2-year-olds do. And Carrie and I are having this conversation where at one point she had gone on for a bit, and I said, okay, that's enough. And Carrie's like, you can't tell her that's enough. And I said, yeah, you can. Children can learn to self-regulate, even at her age. You know, so it's one of those moments where we're kind of going back and forth, you know, one's being a dad, one's being a mom. And she quieted down. At first she was like, you're scaring her. And I, no, I'm not scaring her. She knows I love her. I've got her right here. And I said, besides, I'm the one whose ears she's screaming in. You're 5 feet away. But to think that God comes to meet us in these places, those, man, if they knew places, I'm talking about the worst ones, right? That he comes to meet us there and to love us there. Oh. That's his heart. That's his heart. And the beautiful thing is he wants to bring us into his warmth. He wants to bring us into a new place. And here it comes as we keep reading. By his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Eternal encouragement. Let those two words sink in for a moment. Eternal encouragement and good hope. Again, imagine that feeling of being encouraged going on forever. And you start to get the idea. I mean, if we can catch just a scintilla, just a thread of it now, there's good hope in that. That shining face of God that is not covered, but shines on you in warmth and love. And no matter how good it may be for you, with him and in him and near him, it always keeps getting better. It does not change. Not ever. Eternal encouragement. Good hope. And what difference does that make in your life and mine right now? Because it has to make a difference, or otherwise it's just words. And it's totally okay to say, Pastor, I'm exhausted right now, and I'm not feeling it. But this isn't just about feeling. It goes deeper still. And no matter how good it may be for us to contrast in the moment, we can't just sit back and soak it all in. This is hope. This is encouragement that changes us. Because when we're encouraged and loved like that, and we know it, it's like the old song, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. There's got to be some joy that comes from the inside out, right? We've got to love others with the love we've received. That's why verse 17 goes on, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I love the hymns this time of year. I wait all year just to be able to sing some of these hymns. And the first one we sang today, Joy to the World, was written by Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts, by many, is considered the father of English hymnody. But at the time, Isaac Watts was also considered a radical because we're only supposed to sing the Psalms. We only sing the Psalms in church, many felt. And what Watts wanted to do was take the message of Jesus and make it clear and put it out there. As a matter of fact, one of his critics, Thomas Bradbury, wrote about Watts that he fancied himself to be King David. Not true. Not true. But we've all met that person, right? That one who can't say anything good. Well, apparently that was Bradbury. But just look at the joy in Watts' heart for Jesus, the joy he had to let out. No more let sins or sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. And by the way, please, it's a profound statement. No more let sins nor sorrows grow, because the two are inextricably connected. You cannot have sin without sorrow. It may feel great at first, but into that place, darkness comes. No more let sins nor sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings known far as the curse is found. He's referring to original sin in that, the fallen creation. And I love it, you know? Far as the curse is found. No matter how far is so far that God's love cannot reach you. The curse of sin is no match for the blessing of Jesus in your life. The difficulty and sorrow of your circumstances cannot compare with the joy that He longs to be and bring into your and my darkest places. In a moment, we're going to sing another hymn written by someone whom I proudly share grandparents with on my father's side. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow 2 years after the tragic death of his wife. When her dress caught fire, and when his son Charlie was shot through the shoulder at the Battle of New Hope Church in Virginia. Charlie returned home on December 8th, and Henry sat by his bedside. Charlie survived. But on that Christmas day, Henry wrote the words we're about to sing. And churches don't sing all of them today, especially in the South. Because one of the verses is about cannons that thundered in the South. Of course, he's writing in the time of war. But listen to this verse. This is one that's not sung. It's about the destruction of lives and family caused by war. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Sometimes we see, it seems, the very good that God had done in our lives, disassembled by evil and darkness. But that doesn't mean that He is not there, that Jesus is not present still. Longfellow personally knew the pain of those kinds of circumstances, and so wrote these words: "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." But that's not where the hymn ends, is it? He takes another step, a step of faith, a step into eternal encouragement, if you will. "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Toward you, toward me. In the end, the one who gives eternal encouragement also has the last word. And He is able to bring us safely home to Himself. Do you know that? Because you know Him. Because that's who He is. May Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who gives eternal encouragement and good hope. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. He longs to be found by you. It is the very reason He came. He longs to show you His kindness in unexpected ways. Best of all, He longs to show you His heart for you. May we pray. Jesus, help us to make room for You in all of the busyness, to set it aside, to sit beside the weary road and hear the angels sing and let what they're singing about in. Jesus, bless us in this, we pray. Holy Spirit, help us. Lord, thank You that we can come to You. And through a simple act of faith, not having all our questions answered, but saying, "Yes, I do believe You died on the cross for my sins," we can receive You. And eternal encouragement will enter in to our hearts as well. Lord, help us and bless us in this to receive You, to turn from our sins and ourselves and turn to you and receive what you alone can give, even your own heart, even yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for your eternal encouragement. Thank you that your Son is that and so much more. We praise you for the good hope we have in you through your Spirit. And we thank you that you will rescue us from every evil attack, just as your word says, and bring us safely into the kingdom of Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, we praise you for it. We praise you for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all God's people say, amen.